The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Clips have been in this situation before pretty recently, wouldn't you say? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, in the last series, after they lost Game 1, it was home court that was gone, at least this series. You know, all that happened is the Jazz defended home court. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And if I were the Clippers, I would be buoyed. I would be encouraged by what happened in Game 1. Because Paul George came alive in the fourth quarter after doing nothing for three quarters. And it took a heroic play defensively by Rudy Gobert to ice the game. Now, Donovan Mitchell was, of course, the story. This dude, this young brother, woof. I mean, let me tell you something. Last year, I thought I'd seen it all. Donovan Mitchell's performance last year in the playoffs, and by the way, he and Jamal Murray going back and forth, it was like, oh, I see. Donovan Mitchell's one of these guys who seems to be able to elevate over his already high level when it matters most. But do you remember the kind of numbers he was putting up in those playoffs last year? It was insane. Donovan Mitchell, in, here, look, I'll put his playoff series numbers up from last year. He's averaging 36. I mean, this dude, he had a 57-point game, a 48-point game or something. He dropped 45 last night on Kawhi and Paul George. And by the way, had a sleepy first half. Came on in the second half right when Paul George was coming on. And was the best player on the floor. And his team won. Quinn Snyder, Jazz head coach, on his team's performance after a close win to defend home court.
For the most part, the looks we were getting early were good shots. I thought we were a little bit rushed. You know, and I think as the game progressed, we settled down a little bit more and started, you know, attacking the paint. We don't have to take quick threes all the time. You know, if the ball can break the paint, we can still generate those shots. But I thought we settled in. I thought Donovan settled in. And as much as anything, I thought we threw ourselves into the defensive end. And we've talked about, you know, trying to continue to push the ball and move the ball. When we struggle, it's when the ball stops. And they're so good, you know, defensively, staying in front of you. If the ball stops, it makes it a lot harder. But we've had games where we've not shot it well, and you know, those are the kind of games you have to rely on your defense.
The crazy thing about Donovan Mitchell is he did that without Mike Conley. And they really needed a heroic performance without Mike Conley, because of everyone on that team, his crime partner, his, you know, the other guy who can make plays for himself and others is obviously Mike Conley. Now he's gone and you're facing Kawhi and Paul George. And by the way, Utah was good defensively. Kawhi, last shot of the game, send it to overtime. Nope, got to give the ball up. Here, Paul George. Nope, got to give the ball up. Found Monty Morris in the corner. And by the way, Monty, with a little shot fake, I thought got rid of Gobert. Like, Gobert recovered and just got his fingertips on the ball. And sometimes, you know, the guy just beats you with a play. But I'd be encouraged if I were the Clippers, because that's at Utah, with an enormous performance by Donovan Mitchell, with Rudy Gobert saving the day, and it was by the skin of their teeth. Now, of course, Conley does change the equation a bit. He should make them even better. You just have to hope, if you're a Clippers fan, that Paul George, that fourth quarter was a wake-up, and he will continue to trend in that direction. You know, okay, I have a star system. Five stars is an MVP-level player. LeBron James is a five-star player. In the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard is a five-star player. KD is a five-star player. You get the idea. Four stars is an all-star. It's an all-star, you know, level player, but not an MVP. So who would that be? If Middleton in a good year is a four-star player. Three stars is a starter. solid starter. Schroeder in the regular season is a three-star player. Two-star is a rotation piece. You know, it could be valuable, a rotation piece. It can get you something. So, you know, you look at a team that you like their seventh, eighth guy. That seventh, eighth guy is a two-star player. And a one-star player is replaceable. You know, he's in the league, but you can find someone in the G League or overseas who's just about as good. Paul George is not a five-star player, never has been. But he's not quite just a four-star player in the regular season either. He is sometimes referred to as a superstar, as Kendrick Perkins did today on First Take, filling in for Stephen A. And I said, not a superstar. He's not five. But maybe four and a half? That's what Paul George needs to do. 20 points in a big fourth quarter is not going to do it. That's like maybe kind of a regular all-star sometimes, if you play defense. No. A real top-flight defender and 22, 24 points a game efficiently from Paul George is really what he needs to do just to be his normal self. It'd be nice for him to elevate, but just be your normal self. And I think if he does that, now with Rondo on this team and Kawhi, I think the Clippers are going to beat Utah. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, the Sixers even up the series with the Hawks. You know, I was talking about a couple things the other day. Doc Rivers went to this all-bench unit, which he'd done throughout the regular season, but now it's the playoffs. Doc, you're not going to play 11 guys. Well, Atlanta's deep. They've played a fast pace. You're not going to play 11 guys in the playoffs. You've got to shorten the rotation. He didn't. He played an all-bench unit, not a single starter in his unit, and that's where the Sixers got buried against the Hawks. How many minutes do you think Doc played an all-bench unit without a single starter in Game 2? Raj, guess how many minutes?
Wow, I would say not very many. I mean, that's crazy.
It's not a very big number. It's zero. He never went to an all-bench unit, not for a single second, Doc. There was always a starter in the game, which was my advice to him, if you recall, yesterday, as recently as yesterday. And it paid off. Bench still didn't perform, but although as the game wore on, it got better. So that was one. Doc went away from that all-bench unit where they got buried last game. Here's the other thing. One of the reasons I was like, boy, the pressure's on Doc here is because as the higher number one seed in the conference and you're playing a hot Hawks team, but you're going to get, you know, you're famous for getting bounced up 3-1 and, okay, you get past your last series, you're going to lose to the Hawks? You already lost home court to the Hawks? And the thing was you wasted a 39-point performance by Joel Embiid, who's playing on a torn meniscus. It's been diagnosed. It's a torn meniscus. He's playing on it. You can't expect him to do that every night. You wasted that with that strategy of using the whole bench without a starter for too many minutes where you got buried. Well, guess what? Embiid followed that up with 40 points. So it turns out maybe it's not so much about wasting these performances by Embiid or the game one. Maybe this is just what Embiid's going to do every game of the playoffs. Like, there's really no answer for him. Who's the, you know, and they got his Clint Capella. How much better are you going to do than that? You can't stop Joel Embiid. Brooklyn won't be able to. Brooklyn's going to kill him if the Sixers advance. Brooklyn's going to waste the Sixers. But the Sixers have a better matchup against them than anyone else because there is no answer for Embiid. He just may be 30 to 40 points a night throughout the playoffs. Don't forget, Jokic won the MVP because Embiid missed too many games. Had Embiid, for the first couple weeks of the season, I told everyone, Embiid's the MVP. And he remained that way until he just started missing too many games. Even when he was not playing as many games as everyone else, it's still Embiid. At a certain point, okay, he's missed too much now. But otherwise, he was the best player in the league. Now, you could say Harden played on a per-game basis even better than Embiid in the regular season. But Harden wasn't with Brooklyn the whole time, and he missed even more games than Embiid. So maybe this is just what he's going to do. Basketball reference. Has Joel Embiid 40 points, 13 boards yesterday in fewer than 35 minutes on the floor. The first player in their database to post those numbers under those conditions. Fewer than 35 minutes, 40 points, 13 boards. Ever. In the playoffs, I assume we mean here, Raj. Joel Embiid at the post-game presser.
You know, I love all these guys. He's one of them. You know, I believe in all of them. Because I wanna win it all, and I'm gonna need them to do so. So, you know, I'm extremely happy for them. But, you know, he's only, series is only 1-1. There's nothing to really be happy about. You just got to, you know, try to go over there and, you know, win both and take one at a time.
Oof. Embiid is a whole lot. And now, by the way, Seth Curry, you got to think of a little differently, too. He's taken another step forward in his career. And suddenly you look, you go, okay, Simmons can't shoot, but Embiid and Danny Green and Seth Curry and Tobias Harris, and you got Thibault playing that defense off the bench and Dwight Howard giving you energy at the five. They're not very deep, but you can go seven or eight strong, strong. Oh, is he on the Goodyear? Look who showed up on the Goodyear hotline today. If it isn't Dr. Dre himself. Oh, there was an APB put out on Andre Snelling's on this show, ESPN senior writer, NBA analyst, who tried to tell me that the Bucks were going to beat the Nets with James Harden. With James Harden. What came over you, Dre?
First of all, series ain't over yet. No, I admit that that game two was some peanut butter and jelly. I did not see them playing like that. You know, the Nets, if they outscore you, if they outshoot you, then it is what it is. But the Bucks were acting like they forgot how to score. Like the Nets all of a sudden turned into the 2004 Pistons. So to me, that was tightness, you know. Back in the day, I used to run track. We called that rigging when you come down the stretch and the monkey jumps on your back and it's pulling you back and your shoulders get tight. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bucks did this last game.
No, that's not what happened. No, wrong, Dre, wrong. That's not what happened. Let me tell you what happened, okay? I tried to explain this. Game one, you could say that. They were missing open shots. I get that. Game two, they just got smoked by a better team. Blake Griffin is Blake Griffin again. He's posterizing Giannis after going a double-double. It was 18 and 14 or 18 and 12. So suddenly you have to think of this team like, oh, wait a minute. Wait. They have KD, Kyrie, Blake, Joe Harris, even when they don't have James Harden. But here's the real thing, Dre. This is why they never had a prayer, no matter how they played, of ever beating this Nets team under any circumstances. This is why. Giannis is a great player. Whatever you want to say about his postseason struggles, whatever. And that's it. They have one great player. And it's not like he's a top three player in the league, really, when it comes down to it. The regular season means very, very little in the NBA. The real season is after the regular season's over. Okay. Under those circumstances, Giannis is not a top three, maybe not a top five player, but he is a great player. That's it. That's all they got. Everybody else is, even if you're above average, you're basically interchangeable at this stage in the game. The Nets have three, maybe four great players on their team. And at least two of them are better than Giannis. At least one of them's way better than Giannis when it matters most. And two of them may be also better than Giannis when it matters most. That's it. Dre, that's it. Unless you believe that that's not the case, one of the reasons like basketball and boxing go together in barbershop talk is in certain basketball is much more predictable than the other team sports because the best players really decide things in basketball. It's not about the role players. It's not about the home court and defense. Who has the superstars? How many do they have? And how good are the superstars? That's it in the NBA, Dre. I just made your job so much easier. Refute that.
First of all, you way oversimplified. Second of all, you know, you mentioned Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday as the next players on the Bucks.
Yep.
Against the Nets, Chris Middleton is shooting 6.5 for 22 a game. Mm-hmm. That's not Chris Middleton. If that's the Chris Middleton that shows up, then yeah, the Bucks are going to get swept. But the issue is that the series before, he was Chris Middleton. He was a 20-plus point per game scorer, 50-40-90 guy. He could produce, you know, with the ball in his hands. Same with Drew Holiday. So it's not as simple as just we're going to write down some names and then just throw them out there. Yeah, Blake Griffin
looks
great.
It is every year.
You know?
It is every year. Huh? Dre, look, let's talk about finals MVPs
for
a second, okay?
Okay,
look, do you think it's coincidence?
Go ahead. One question before you go any further. Last time I was on here, you made a big to-do about how Kevin Garnett was never on Kobe Bryant's level.
Right.
If that's the case, and the best player's team always win, what happened in the 08 finals?
Very simple. In the 08 finals? You mean when Boston won?
Yes.
Okay. Boston had three guys, and the Lakers had two. This proves my point.
No. But that's not what you just said.
Yeah,
what was the best player always wins.
No, the best player doesn't always win if the other team has an extra great player. Then he doesn't always win. But that's what it comes down to is how great are your best players and how many of those guys do you have? The Lakers had Kobe and Powell, and the Celtics had Pierce and Garnett and Ray Allen. And so it was a close competitive series that the team with the three guys beat the team with the two guys. By the way, look, let's talk about finals MVPs over the last, let's say the last 10, okay?
Right.
LeBron, let's go back to, this would be the 10th year, okay? So in this era, it went in 2000, who was the MVP, the reigning MVP of the finals? It's LeBron. We'll go backwards. LeBron is one. Okay. Before that, who was it? KD. Before that, Kawhi. Before that, LeBron. Before that, everyone's LeBron, KD, or Kawhi, except for Iguodala, which is really LeBron, because he defended LeBron. That's it. Is it a coincidence that player always is the best player in the league, or one of the two or three best players in the league? That's what it takes.
No, you're taking the argument and spinning it around. It's not that, the best player always wins. Mm-hmm. It's the best player on the best team gets finals MVP. So, or at least the high scorer most times. So, yes, the team that won a championship, Kawhi Leonard was not universally considered the best player in the NBA. And then his team won a championship. He was the best player.
That's right, but why? But hold on. We're talking to Andre Snelling, the ESPN NBA analyst on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. But why was that the case, Andre? Because KD got hurt and then Klay got hurt. Otherwise, the Raptors, as you and I know, would have been smoked by the Warriors.
Nah.
Smoked by the Warriors.
You know what? That's one that's never provable, but I'll tell you this.
You're saying no to that?
Before the series started. I picked the Raptors
Me too.
Before the series started.
So did I.
And they won.
Wait, so okay. did I. I so, also I mean, picked the Raptors, but what was very clear from that series, very clear, is had the Raptors had a healthy KD and Klay, they'd have been killed. I have to admit when I'm wrong. Like, oh, wait, what? No. That Raptors team would have been killed by that Warriors team.
But admit it. But you weren't wrong.
Because they both got hurt. So in the end, it was Steph versus Kawhi.
If it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk.
Right. Okay, fine. But I'm dealing with what really happens. So when the Cavs lost to the Warriors in 15, there was no Kyrie and no Kevin Love. But there was Steph, Klay, and Dre, so they were able to beat LeBron. With 100% certainty, I will tell you, if he had Kyrie and Kevin Love, they would have smoked the Warriors, which is why he went six games with them without them. And as soon as he got a crew the next year, even though they had won 73 games, he still beat them at Oracle in Game 7. You know why? Because Steph is not on LeBron's level. That's why. When it came down to it, he couldn't score.
Seven arguments into a blender. We're getting on this. Tangent here. We're coming back to the Bucks and the Nets.
Yes.
It's very simple. The first half of the first game, at halftime, I pointed out the Bucks looked like the better team, but they looked like they were nervous. It was just like game one.
I can go with that.
They looked like they were nervous. They weren't playing up the level. The difference was they beat Miami in that first game. They relaxed and they were themselves the rest of the series. They lost game one to the Nets, and then they way choked up in game two. So if that's what we're going to get from here on out, the series is over.
It doesn't matter if the Bucks play the best basketball they're capable of playing. If James Harden is healthy, they never take this team seven games. Maybe if everything went right for the Bucks and each player had the best night of their lives and throughout the series the Nets were off, but they had a fully healthy team with Harden and everyone, maybe they could take them six games. Dre, they would never take this Nets team seven games. Fully healthy? They have three elite players of all-time elite get their own shot, all-time elite make it from anywhere on the court. You can't beat that.
We're still talking in reality. Right now, James Harden has been declared out for game three. For game three, if Milwaukee plays their game, they win, and it's 2-1, and we have a series. If they play like they've been playing, it's 3-0, and we get ready for
the next round. A wise man once told me that if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I'm trying to remember who that was. Dre, are the Bucks going to win a game in this series?
Yeah, they're going to win a game. If they win game three, they can still win the series. If they win game four, then it's a gentleman's sweep.
Okay, let me just tell you, under no circumstances, ever, will the Bucks win this series, ever, even without Harden. They cannot win this series because right now the Nets have two, maybe three of those guys, and the Bucks have one. I like Middleton a lot. I like Jrue Holiday a lot.
Three of them.
They are not perennial all-stars. Blake Griffin throughout his career has been a perennial all-star when healthy. Kyrie throughout his career, a perennial all-star when he's healthy. Yes, it does.
What matters is how you're playing right now.
Right,
if Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday play the level, then
that they normally play at, it's not good enough. Chris Middleton is a one- or two-time all-star. Jrue Holiday has maybe made one team, meaning most of the time, they're not quite good enough. It's not just how you play. It's how you play compared to the other team. Kyrie, every year is an all-star. Blake, when he's healthy, every year is an all-star. James Harden, when he's healthy, every year is an MVP candidate. Same with KD. They just don't have that on the Bucks. That's all.
Yeah, well, if the all-star is not quite good enough, guys, play to their level, then we'll have a different conversation at this time next week.
Dr. Dre, I've heard better hits from you. You got to go back to the lab, remix this
You
one.
Only say that because you don't agree.
That's right.
Next week we'll be singing a different tune.
Yeah, maybe.
If they show up. Come on, Bucks, show up. Don't leave me out here hanging.
just subscribe to my superstar theory of basketball. It's very easy. It's not that hard. I know it's oversimplified. It's true. But, like, I don't know. I just noticed that the championships always won every year by either Michael Jordan or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or LeBron James or Kevin Durant. I wonder why that is. Because they're the best player and they have great teammates with multiple Hall of Famers on their team. That's a team that always wins in the end. Once every 10 years, Dirk Nowitzki, you know, sticks his head up. Where, by the way, he's probably the best player in the league that year. Dr. Dre, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. See what he did, though, Raj. He was right to identify. I'm kind of retrofitting everything. I'm saying, see, he won the championship. Therefore, he's the best. See, Dre?
Yeah.
He's the only the best to win the championship.
You both had some good points. You went back and forth, but I guess I'd give you a unanimous decision.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. Yeah,
I carried him like Floyd Mayweather. The Joker won the NBA's MVP. Was he the right choice? It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. But cutting your wireless bill in half, really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good. Well, maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. Hear what Embiid said about Joker winning the MVP. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Andre Snelling's joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven, helping Andre Snelling's discover that superstars win in the NBA. Nuggets' Nikola Jokic named NBA MVP, the 41st overall pick. They were in commercial when he was drafted, as has been written many times in the last couple days. First center to win it since Shaq in 2000. Think about how much the game has changed. Almost impossible for a center to win it, right? Or is it? We're in a golden era of big men that people don't realize is happening. Like, I'm not even just talking about the fact that KD is almost 7 feet tall. Jokic is a 7-footer, and give or take, and AD, and Giannis, and Embiid. But did Jokic deserve it? He got 91 first-place votes, 971 total points. Embiid had one first-place vote, was the runner-up with 586 total. I'm surprised by that, that Embiid got that much. Embiid would have won MVP, but he missed too many games. And it's not like Embiid is that much better than Jokic, that, you know, Jokic plays every game in the season, Embiid misses a bunch, and Embiid is still more valuable than him. That's the issue. I had Embiid as my MVP up until he just started to miss too many games, and what are you going to do? Steph Curry had five first-place votes, was third with 453 points. The order was correct. In fact, I may have even put Steph over Embiid because of all the games Embiid missed. But Embiid was disappointed. He said, "It's disappointing because as a player, you work hard for moments like this. But then again, it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do about it. I just got to come out every year and just be ready to do my job." Let me tell you my MVP list. Jokic won it. He deserved it. Steph came in second. Embiid third. Look, The best player on a per-game basis in the NBA this year in the regular season was James Harden. He's clearly the best player in the league. But he didn't start the season in Brooklyn. So how's he going to win MVP for his team? You can't do it, right? And then he missed a ton of games. The guy who was going to win MVP was Embiid. 2-3 weeks into the season, I said, Embiid's the best player in the league this year. Regular season. Oh, no, it's LeBron. It's this one. No, it's KD. Nope, Embiid is number one. And I never thought he relinquished it. He just missed too many games. And in his absence, the question was, who's going to win it? It's not going to be LeBron. He got hurt. It's not going to be Harden. He got hurt. It's not going to be KD. He got hurt. Not going to be Embiid. He missed too many games. And it turned into a race between Jokic, Damian Lillard, and Steph Curry. I thought Jokic had a slight advantage over Lillard, and then Lillard faded late. Steph really came on. So 1-2-3 to me is Jokic, Steph, and I said Embiid earlier, but he missed too much, Lillard. That would be my 1-2-3 regular season MVP. Chris in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, quick question, man. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to get through these Philly fans, but they don't seem to understand it. So Ben Simmons obviously did not play that well numbers-wise last night, but a lot of these fans believe that he slowed down Trae Young, even though he had a double-double. But my focus and my question to them and to you is, that's not going to be good enough to beat the good teams if they do, in fact, get past Atlanta. They got the W, but he's going to have to contribute, rather as rebounding or assists. He's not a scorer.
This is the issue with Simmons. The issue with Simmons is not just that he can't shoot like Giannis, because his handles are better than Giannis, and he's has better court vision, is an even better passer than Giannis. Giannis is a good passer. But he's a better defender than Giannis, too, who's also a very good defender. So, but just on offense, Simmons can help you in a variety of ways. But the problem is, it's not just like Giannis, he can't shoot. Because Giannis can shoot, just not very well. Simmons can't shoot, and he won't shoot. It's like psychotic levels of it. So that's the problem for the Sixers. So you got to put him in the, like, he has created more open looks from three, I keep saying, since he entered the league than anyone. He has real offensive value. You can play a five-out game where he's going to drive and you double him, or he's going to dunk it, or else, and, you know, if you do double him, he's going to find the open man. But because he cannot shoot at all, teams understand how to defend him, and you have to kind of put him in the dunker spot a lot. Even when he's bringing the ball up, then he runs, you know, he'll bring the ball up and then he'll be in the dunker spot. Got to give it up. And they don't have a lot of other, like, fluid kind of passers on the team. And that is the problem. Like, the reason, like, let's say the Nets super team didn't exist. If the Nets super team didn't exist, then the Sixers would win the championship this year if Simmons could even shoot it like Giannis. But he can't. And that is the problem. Gabe in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Earlier today on First Take, you said Embiid is the best player in the Hawks and Sixers series, which, of course, you are correct. And the people are crazy that are saying the Hawks are going to beat the Sixers. They're absolutely out of their minds. Because Tobias Harris, I mean, you could even case that he's the second best player
no.
on the court.
No, you cannot make the case Tobias Harris is better than Trae Young. No, you cannot. You cannot. Sure.
Tobias Harris is such an underrated player.
He's not Trae Young, dude. Trae Young is a better shooter than Harris, and he can get his own shot much better than Harris, and he can hook up his teammates much better than Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is a nice player. Trae Young is a special player, and he's showing it, and he's rising to the occasion. And I disagree with you that it's absurd that the Hawks could beat the Sixers. I think they could beat the Sixers. I just like the Sixers in this series. I think that they have, in Embiid, the best player in the series. I think that in Embiid, Simmons, and Thibault, they have three of the top 10 defenders in the league, maybe even seven or eight defenders in the league, three of them all on the same team who get real minutes. I think Seth Curry is one of the best shooters in the league, and he's showing he can fill it up. Danny Green, as long as you don't put him on a little, you know, quick guard, can hit three. He's a real 3-and-D guy still. You know, they got guys. Dwight Howard is a good backup center. He can grab you rebounds, play defense, play with energy. They got some guys. And here's the other thing. I haven't even mentioned this yet. Doc believed in Shake Milton. And Shake Milton had played so poorly recently, I really thought he was unplayable. And remember yesterday when I said what makes Doc Rivers a great coach, part of it is part of his downfall maybe here, is that stubbornness and belief in his players and his team. So he plays that all bench unit and they got killed. Well, he mixed it up a little. He made sure that at least one starter was on the court all 48 minutes. But he also believed in Shake Milton. Shake believed in himself, made sure he was ready. And when he got the call, he couldn't miss. And they're going to have him or Maxey or someone contribute off the bench for the rest of this series to win. And I think they will. I think they have enough to get by the Hawks. Another scandal in baseball, and all eyes on one player tonight. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and wherever you get your podcasts. Baseball at it again. Baseball has now reached the level where the only time it gets talked about is when there's scandal. Believe me, I know this as a boxing fan. It's not a good sign in terms of its relevance in the culture. Baseball will get talked about when there's a scandal, and that's it. Sometimes during the World Series. I missed the world when baseball was central. Even when I was doing, like, I'm not even talking about like when I was a little kid. And even then, you heard, oh, football and basketball are taking over, but baseball is still really big. I mean, like, you know, late 90s or even early 2000s, I was hosting Around the Horn. And we used to lead with McGuire and Sosa and the Yankees all the time. You know, and then LeBron James and Yao Ming and, you know, baseball, but not anymore. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. So the first true ace the Yankees have had in, you know, decades, right? Like real hammer ace. Was asked point blank at the presser whether he's ever used foreign substances while pitching.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players.
I mean, I respect the fact that he didn't lie about it. You know, he's like, I'm not going to make this a bigger thing than it is. And on First Take today, who was it? It was Booger McFarland who was saying, look, I know when the speed limit's 55, if I do in the low 60s, I'm all right, you know. And I ran with that metaphor. That's right. I think pitchers and hitters see things like doctoring a baseball, using extra pine tar, even corking a bat or something. That's like going 62 in a 55. Everyone does it. And, like, in terms of its efficacy, yes, it helps you for sure. But does it turn you into a pitcher you're fundamentally not? That's the question. Using steroids and human growth hormone, that's like going 120 in a 55. Because, it, like, you know, McGuire and Sosa would never have ever been put up Hall of Fame numbers had they not did what they did. Same thing, Barry Bonds would have never been the home run champ had he not done what he did. It turned them fundamentally. Barry Bonds was not a 73 home run year guy. It turned him fundamentally into something different than he was. He's one of the greatest players ever already, which is why Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. McGuire and Sosa were in decline already because they came into the league, especially McGuire, with old man skills. That doesn't age very well. Plate discipline, power, struck out a lot. But once they jumped on the stuff, boy, they became guys they weren't ever going to be otherwise. Oh, he hit 49 home runs in his rookie year, McGuire, right, and then 32 the next year. If you look at his on-base slugging, it basically fell every year. And Sosa, too. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, they're hitting 60-plus home runs a year, and they're walking a billion times, they're hitting for a great batting average. No. So Gerrit Cole, I think, is like, look, everyone's doing it. And we're all, like, yes, it makes us better, but since the whole league is doing it, it's kind of like it may, and by the way, Gerrit Cole will be a great pitcher with or without it, right? But it is cheating. Just like going 62 and a 55 is speeding. You're just not going to get locked up for it. Unless you're going like 120, which is like what the Astros did. The Astros cheated using technology where there was no defense for it. what, you know, Spygate in the NFL, like Patriots. Patriots and Astros cheated differently. It's like, wait a minute. You guys are cheating in a way that not everyone else is. And we have no defense for it. You're using technology. Or the way McGuire and Sosa and Bonds did. Wait a minute. This is turning you into something you wouldn't otherwise be. Now, I think there is something to be said for, philosophically, I think you're on very steady ground, sturdy ground. If you say, your footing is firm, philosophically, if you say cheating is cheating, that's what's important to me. But actually, it's not what's important to me, to tell you the truth. For example, Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. He's a Hall of Famer. Because before he ever started cheating, he was already a top three or four left fielder of all time. He was clearly a first ballot Hall of Famer before anything funny happened. So he's a Hall of Famer already. What he does ex post facto doesn't. Pete Rose gambled on baseball, so he didn't have over 4,000 hits. He didn't play multiple positions, win World Series and everything. He already had done that when he. So I don't think that the philosophical point, like, well, you cheated, therefore now you have broken the rules and you're gone. No, I don't believe that. I do think you can look at McGuire or Sosa and say, no, I'm not going to think about you for the Hall of Fame because you obviously weren't a Hall of Famer without the cheating. That I understand. Gerrit Cole, if he's using the same foreign substance everyone in the league is using, do we believe his position among the best pitchers in the league would change if everyone stopped using it? I don't think so. But we'll see, because they're going to crack down on this now. And hopefully, you know, batting averages go up a little bit. The league's not hitting 220. That's no fun. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max,
yes.
Listen, the Clippers yesterday after the first quarter, they're up 7. At halftime, they're up 13. This is after that knockdown dragout game 7 against Dallas to get to the next round. They needed to steal that game against Utah without Mike Conley. I am concerned that was the opportunity they let slip away, and now Utah's going to get momentum and take off with the series next. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, it's possible, Andre. It's possible, except that we saw Ty Lue make adjustments in the last series when they went small. I thought the adjustment would be Rondo starts instead of plays 19, 20 minutes off the bench. It wasn't. It was going small, playing a lineup with Batum, so you know, instead of, you know, Zubac. So now he's got to make another adjustment here in this series. I think the series is going to go a while, and I think the Clippers have real good chance to win. Dana White's about to drop by on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.